He knows our every weakness. He knows our every trial. He knows every circumstance of our life. Why? Why not take it to the Lord in prayer? What a friend we have in this Jesus. All our griefs, all our sorrows, and all our trials to bear. Isn't it remarkable that we have such a friend? Isn't it remarkable that such a friend would welcome us to bring all of our concerns to Him? There is perhaps a passage among others, but certainly a passage that speaks about the friend that we have in Jesus and what it is that He does for us. A passage that is one that would bring to us some of the deepest and sweetest truths of the New Testament. And I'm thinking of the passage in Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 14, which is found in the Pew Bible that you may have in front of you on page 1163. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Since, therefore, we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Two questions to shape your thinking this morning about this passage and about our friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Two questions. Where is our friend now, when we most need Him? And what is He doing? A friend is one who stays close. A friend is one who stays with us, but Jesus is not here. What kind of friend is He? The truth, of course, is that Jesus has become our great high priest, that the author of Hebrews tells us that Jesus, as our high priest, has ascended to the Father, that the work that He accomplished for us was not just the work that He accomplished on the cross. It wasn't just His blood spilt for us from that cross. It wasn't just that He rose defeating death and leaving death defeated in the dust. But the work of Christ also includes the work of going through the heavens as the risen Lord, where He now is at the right hand of the Father, at the place of power and the place of glory and the place of authority. The right hand of the Father is the place of all authority, and our friend has become the reigning King. And our friend sits in the seat of all authority above heaven and earth. He has gone through the heavens. And He has become thereby a high priest. That is, He brings us with Him to God. He has made open the way, provided access to the throne of God, for us to approach the throne of God without having access made way for us by the blood of Jesus would be gravely dangerous to us. Because to come to a holy God without our sins taken away is like trying to have access to DFW Airport in a 727 without a pilot at the controls who knows how to bring that airplane in, who knows how to give you access to the runway. But Jesus has given us access as our high priest. Think of it this way. In the Old Testament, the function of the prophet was to bring God to men. That is, to bring the Word of God to men. And the function of the priest was to bring men to God. And that's what Jesus has done. And that is His work, every bit as much as the cross, every bit as much as the empty tomb. It is the work of Christ to pass through the heavens and to be seated on the right hand where now our friend in high places has all authority. And what is He doing there? First of all, the Scripture tells us that He is there sympathizing with us. More perhaps than anything else, it says in verse 15, He is sympathizing with our weaknesses. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. And in verse 14 it says that it is Jesus, the Son of God, who has passed through the heavens. Now, the wording choice by the author of Hebrews there in describing our high priest and our friend is extremely important. He is Jesus, the Son of God. He's not just the Son of God. What's the significance of the word Jesus? Jesus is the term, the name of Christ in all of His humanity. It is in the fullness of His humanity that He has passed through the heavens. It is in the completeness of His identification with all that it means to be a human being that Jesus Christ has gone to the right hand of God in the fullness of humanity, and He has therefore, in the fullness of humanity, experienced everything you've experienced, every weakness. Indeed, He's experienced every moral difficulty. He's experienced all the frailty of our humanity, all the shortness of this life, all the brevity, all the fear of illness, all the sense of loss, all of that. But the author of Hebrews in verse 15 points to one thing in particular that the Lord Jesus, in the fullness of His humanity, has experienced, and that is every temptation you and I have ever had, whatever it is, every temptation. You tread close to the edge of blasphemy when you say it. The Son of God, Jesus the Christ, has experienced the wickedness, the vileness of every temptation. The worst temptation you can think of. The most awful, most despicable temptation that makes your stomach turn. Christ has experienced it. The most plaguing temptation of your life. The one that won't go away. The one that has a grip on you. The one that causes you to lose heart and lose your grip on the Lord. That one too, He has experienced, whatever it is. Yet without sin. You say, now wait a minute, Skip. If you've experienced a temptation and yet you haven't sinned, then you haven't really experienced the temptation. Oh, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Who is the one who experiences the full force of temptation's power? Who? Why, it's the one who doesn't give in to it. When you give in to a temptation, what happens? Well, like air coming out of a balloon, the temptation loses its power over you. It's when the temptation is not given into, when there is no sin, that the full burden and weight of temptation is upon you. And Jesus, the Son of God, experienced every temptation a human being has ever experienced in the fullness of humanity. Therefore, the author of Hebrews tells us, we are to come to the throne of grace with confidence. We are to follow our great high priest into the throne room. We are to come. We are to come to Jesus even this morning, even right now. We are to come because He knows our every weakness. He knows our every trial. He knows He has experienced our every temptation. It is a remarkable word that is used there in verse 16. We are to come with confidence, it says in the NIV. That really means two things. One, it means you come with boldness. You come with eagerness. You come with a brassiness. You come just as you are. You storm into the throne room of God's grace. You don't belong there by yourself, but the Son of God, Jesus, the High Priest, has paved the way, has gone through the heavens, has opened the door, has given you access to the Father. You boldly go in, but the word also means something else. It not only means boldness, it means frankness and honesty. So that when you come honestly. Opening your heart to the Lord. Honestly telling Him who you are with all of your trials, with all of your weaknesses, with all of your temptations to which you give in every day, to which Jesus, the Son of God, never gave in. And yet which He understands in the fullness of His humanity completely. Isn't it remarkable that the one who made wooden chairs in a carpenter's shop in Nazareth for people to sit in, the one who sat by the well with a prostitute, the one who sat in Simon the Pharisee's home, now sits in the fullness of humanity on the throne of grace, from which place of absolute authority He promises you He will help you. What a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Lord, thank You that You are such a friend. Thank You that You know our every trial, our every weakness. Thank You that You have passed through the heavens, Lord Jesus Christ, and You are the High Priest of heaven, and You have paved the way and given us access to the throne of grace. Thank You, Jesus. And we offer our hearts and our lives and our prayers to You. Boldly and honestly.